Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
Welcome back. Woohoo! This is a really fun week.
What's on your shelf?
Yeah. Sorry, I love this day.
Mean to cut you off.
That's okay. What's on your shelf? I have a lot on my shelf, actually.
I have a decent amount, not anything like over the top high ratings, but interesting talks.
Ooh.
So
I am interested.
Like a little, yeah, just some weird ones and different, but
I like it.
Fun fact.
We do need a fun fact.
First of all, my cross stitch.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't talk about that last week. We were going to talk about it and then we forgot. But yeah. How cute is my sister that she made us? If you guys have seen on our Instagram and Facebook page, the gift my sister gave me for Christmas is our logo and little cross stitch figures of us.
Oh my gosh.
I love it so much.
No, I am completely floored by the creativity and talents of people, especially Jana.
Right.
Thank you, Jana.
Yes.
That was the greatest gift I've ever been given.
And she just started, that was her quarantine craft. Like, she just learned how to cross stitch. It's not like something she's done her whole life. She's just like, I'm going to start this.
That's amazing.
And wow.
Right?
Like, how amazing is that?
I loved it so much.
So thoughtful, so adorable.
I don't know how she does it. I kept like staring at it. I'm like, I have to touch it.
So cute.
It is so cool.
The colors are perfect. Everything about it is perfect. So thank you.
I know.
To my sister who
thank you for listening to our podcast. Yes. I know.
I love it so much.
If you have gifts you want to send us.
We accept
gifts.
I want to see your homemade talents.
I know. Send us a picture.
Yeah. I want to see what you did
amazing.
Over quarantine.
Tag me on what talents and amazing creative abilities you have.
Your talents, your quarantine, I learned how to's.
Seriously.
All of it. I'm so interested in what people did with their time.
I
did puzzles and read books.
I did puzzles and podcasts. And we started a podcast. And coffee filter wreaths.
Oh, that's right.
Which I have done before, but I went berserko during quarantine.
Coffee filter wreaths.
If you want a tutorial or if you want one, because I've got so many under my beds that I'm running out of space, I'll send one to you.
Send your requests.
Yes. I have all kinds of colors.
Send us your book recommendations. We'll send you a coffee filter wreath.
I could go spend lots of time talking about the ways
fantastic.
Of the filter wreath.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you, Jana.
You're a rock star.
Yes. Love it. Thank you so much. Thanks for supporting us.
Seriously. She was awesome. Amazing.
I won big in the sibling department. That's
yes,
for
you
sure.
did. That's amazing.
Got some good ones. Okay. Next, after that,
fun fact.
Yes. So I've been reading about Riley Sager and just reading different people, what they have to say about him. And so I found on crimebythebook.com, whoever the writer is on here wrote a guide to Riley Sager's thrillers. And she kind of talks about her experience with Riley Sager, which is pretty cool. She said why I love Riley Sager's thrillers. I first encountered Riley Sager's work when I was a brand new publicity assistant working at my first job in publishing.
Oh.
I was lucky enough to begin my publishing career at Dutton, the fabulous division of Penguin Random House that published Sager's breakout novel Final Girls. As a young publicity assistant reading Sager's manuscript, I was instantly captivated.
Ooh.
I want this job. I want to read people's manuscripts and be like, yes, no, yes, no.
Well, I only want to read the yeses.
I would probably give everybody yeses. There's a few I would be like, no, no. But it's hard to read
a book
and be no because
You wrote a book. Yeah.
How fantastic is that?
That is so cool.
Anyway, she goes on to say, I couldn't believe my luck that in my very first job in the industry, I was getting my hands on a book that so perfectly captured what I love in a crime novel. I'm a huge horror movie fan, and Sager's novel Final Girls is very much an ode to the leading ladies of slasher films. But more on that, book later. I was instantly captivated by Sager's page-turning writing, engaging characters, and his passion for the film genre that I love too. You know when you read a book that feels somehow tailor-made for you? That's how I felt with Final Girls. I was an instant Sager's fan, and nothing has changed as the years have gone on. Then she says about, specifically about Home Before Dark. Book after book, Riley Sagers just seems to get better. With each new release, he both maintains the trademark feature of his writing, addictive plotting, relatable characters, and touches of horror inspiration, and pushes himself in new directions. His 2020 release, Home Before Dark, promises to deliver his most ambitious, pushing-the-envelope thriller yet. This thriller is essentially two books in one. Ooh. So that seems to be one of the things everything I've read about Home Before Dark is that it's a book within a book.
Ooh.
Because the dad wrote a book about his experience with this house, and the daughter returning to the home is reading through the book, which at first she thought was just a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo.
Sure.
And is like now, a fiction. Yeah. She's kind like of reading her childhood in the book because she was a kid when it happened, but now as an adult. So it's referred to as a book within a book. So anyway, there you go. It goes on, but I just wanted to point out those two things.
That is so cool.
How cool, though, your first job in the industry.
I know.
And you're reading a Riley Sager's manuscript.
And he's not big yet.
No.
Like, I just looked up Final Girls, which she said she felt was tailor-made for her. And it sounds, I've never looked into that, this one.
It's good. I've read it.
Have you? Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
Yeah. So kind of the premise of Final Girls is it lumps together girls that were serial killers, their final killing. So those, the last girls.
Like they didn't die. They didn't like die. Everyone around them did. And they were the sole survivors. They were the
survivors. Yes.
Crazy.
And so it takes those and kind of.
Part of a club.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Being a part of a club.
It sounds very interesting. It's now on my list. Just in case you're wondering. It was
a good one. I actually have a paper copy of that when I read that.
Ooh, that's always good too.
Not knowing it was Riley Sager's. Even after I read Lock Every Door, then I was like, oh, Final Girls, I've read that.
Oh, there ding, you ding, go. Ding.
I should look at authors a little more often.
But I love that though, when you figure out, I love this. Oh yeah, and I love their other
and
one.
And I love this one too. Yeah.
So next week, I hope you're reading along.
Yeah.
Because it's book club week already.
Right. It's time to, if you haven't started, get started. Started.
We are going to be talking all things Home Before Dark.
Yes.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
It's going to be a winner. I haven't started yet.
I haven't either.
So I'll be listening this week.
Yep.
And ready to chat.
It has a 7-week, I think it was 7 weeks when I checked the other day.
At our library.
Uh-huh. So I'm still on the waiting list. It's not coming up. So I'm going to be purchasing it. But I knew that going in. It was a long wait.
Yeah.
But I always try. But always. Anyway.
How are you doing on your reading challenge?
For the year?
Yeah. Like, are you on track?
I don't know. Well.
It tells you.
Does it tell me?
Track.
If I'm on track? How do I know?
Do you put a goal
in? I did put a goal.
So go to your reading challenge, the three little bars.
Look at you. Step me through how to use the
website. Then it should say. Reading challenge. And it'll say how many you've read.
I've read 15 out of 151 was my goal.
Very good.
So I'm one book behind schedule. I didn't know it got that specific. I'm one book
behind schedule too.
Okay. I got to up
it. I'm not super worried about it. That's pretty darn close.
That is. I mean, come on. It's barely over a month and I'm 15 books in.
That's amazing.
Right.
Well done.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to let it stress me out.
I'm not stressed out.
I am reading a book right now that I'm like 2 hours away from finishing. Listening
so you're
to.
Very, so very close. I'm close.
I'll take it.
I'm just starting a book. How was yours? So you're ahead of me. I'm the same as you. I'm one book behind schedule. One book
behind schedule. Okay. So what have you been reading this week? What's been on your shelf?
First?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. All right. I'm going to start with The Simple Wild by K.A. Tucker.
Okay.
I have been looking at this book for a really long time. It's been on so many reading lists, but it is not available at our library.
Come on. We need our books.
So I drug my feet because I didn't. I just really hate buying books. I read them so quickly that it doesn't feel worth my money.
Yeah.
But I've been looking at this one for so long, and I had an extra Audible credit.
Extra credit.
So I'm like, I'm doing it. And this book has 4.41 rating.
Those are the ones you're like, okay, I'll use my credit on.
Yeah. And when it's been rated 32,000 times.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. I mean...
So I was like, okay, I'm doing it.
Okay.
It's, and? The premise of the book is there's a girl who is in her early 20s and she gets fired from her job and she lives at home with her parents and she has this boyfriend. Her boyfriend's not really being there for her throughout this job loss. And but she doesn't – it's like she doesn't – it's not hurting her feelings as much as she probably should. And, but you know, she kind of just is sulking and sad and has her, it's, she lives with her mother and stepfather and her father, her mm-hmm. biological father, she knows him and has met him, but he lives in Alaska. She's in like Toronto and he's in Alaska. And so because of the distance and he owns his own airplane company, and is so busy over there and feels very important. His work feels important to him that he's never come and visited her ever. So they've only like, at least until she was like, I don't know, 12 years old, communicated by phone.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine.
I can't imagine either. And but after that, the mom, her mom kind of said, you know what, if you can't come and support her and be involved in her life, then just don't be.
Yeah.
Basically. And so he said, okay, I don't want to cause any problems. And so he backed off.
He walked off.
So she gets a call soon after this job loss and everything. You know, her world got rocked. She sees her boyfriend at a bar chatting it up with another woman. She's not even sad about it. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she gets this call from someone who knows her dad saying that he's got cancer and she should come. Before he starts treatment and just have, you know, have some time with him before he gets sick. So she wasn't going to go because she's like, why would I go? You know,
I don't really know him.
Yeah.
And
I'm not, why should I uplift, like uproot my life, whatever. And then she realizes I'm not doing anything. Yeah. I should go. So she goes. And it's, so the rest of the story is really her having a relation, like gaining a relationship with her dad. Seeing what his life has been and why it's so important to him. And kind of also some self-discovery, right? Like, what do I want for myself and who am I? And now that she kind of has this fresh start, what does she want that to look like? And it's great. There's a love story involved in there. And it's just got a little bit of everything. It's really easy, light read. It was fun. It has good characters, an interesting plot. I really liked it. I gave it 4 stars.
Awesome. When did that, when was it released?
I will tell you. 2018.
Okay. So it's been around a couple years.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need that.
Yeah.
Easy, light.
It good wasn't story, what good I expected.
Yeah.
Like after hearing about it so much and like seeing so many people talk about it, I think I had a different image in my mind. So that was surprising.
Yeah.
But even though it wasn't what I anticipated, I really enjoyed it. Like sometimes it's like disappointing, right?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't disappointed. It was just surprising. Oh, this is what we're reading about.
Right. Yeah.
It was just different.
Good.
So that's good. There's my first book.
Okay. Fantastic.
The Simple Wild.
Okay. I love it. The next, so for my first book, I read Group.
Ah.
How One Therapist and a Circle of Strangers Saved My Life by Christy Tate.
I have heard a lot about this book.
Yes, it's been everywhere. I've been on hold forever for it. It was a Reese's Book Club pick. And I read it and it got, I mean, out of 12,000 ratings, 3.77. So decent. It's decent. And so as much as I saw it and was like, I've got to read this. This is right up my alley. I love, you know, mental health discussions and books that bring that to light. I kind of walked away with maybe a little different.
Okay.
So the idea of group therapy, which this is a first for me. I'm an advocate of therapy. I go to therapy. I've never gone to group therapy. Couples therapy, but group therapy is not something I know a lot about. And so there's this young girl who is just finishing up school. She's just finished up school. She's as a lawyer. Okay. She's heading into her career as a lawyer, and she is struggling. It starts out with she's imagining what, you know, what would happen if I just accidentally walked in front of a car, or maybe I shouldn't be here anymore. And she doesn't really have any real reason. She's just gloomy. Things, she's just not happy. She feels blah.
Yeah.
Nothing is great, but yet she's just graduated. She's got her whole career ahead of her.
Very
she
promising. She
did very, very good in school. Yeah, it could be a very, very promising career. And yet she can't get through the day. And then she goes home. She doesn't have anybody. She's by herself. She lives by herself. She, anyway, all these things. And she's battled. Food is a touchy subject for her. Some weird eating habits and things that she wouldn't want anybody to know about her. And somebody says something about therapy. And she's like, well, it's either this. And if it doesn't work, then I'll just do one of the other things. Like, walk in front of a car. I mean, she's just really, there is nothing in life to stay here for. She's just alone, just alone. So she calls a therapist. She goes to this therapist and meets with him, and he recommends group therapy. So she goes to this group, and they just, some people in this group have been together for years and years and years. They know each other really well. They talk like siblings. They're fighting. They yell at each other. They, you know, it's just a very unique group of people with different circumstances and different reasons for being in this group together. And then the therapist who sits in on everything. And, you know, he does some great, I mean, there are some great aspects of this group therapy that I'm like, this is so great. She's getting to know people. There's accountability. Like the therapist will be like, hey, you need to call every night to this other person in group and check in and just tell them what you ate today. That's it. Just,
sure.
And a lot of it is you just need to say things out loud, because when we don't talk about things, they're scary or they're not real. So we're just going to say how many apples you ate today. She has a thing with apples, which is really weird. Just these little manifestations. Anyway, and so she goes through years of being in here, and it just talks about different scenarios and different experiences she's having, failures and successes. And ultimately, the therapist doesn't give her advice on what to do. He wants them to decide on their own what's best for them. So he'll give recommendations or prescriptions like, you know, you need to call this person or this person. But she gets herself into some situations where as a therapist, I would be like, this is not in your best interest. Or I would hope a therapist would say that to me.
Sure, yeah.
But he's just there to support her as she goes through it. And is waiting for her to decide for herself. And so that's the part I was just like, oh, no, you can see the red flags here. Let's talk to her about the red flags. And he's waiting for her to be like, yeah, maybe this wasn't a good idea.
After it's all said and done.
After said and done. And so that's the part I was just like, ooh, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if that's a healthy way to play with people when you see that you could give some coaching or guidance in this, and you're going to let it.
Interesting.
Anyway, there's some interesting dynamics in it. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
I thought I would be giving it higher. I expected to love it more. Okay. And although the characters were so well developed, like I could see them sitting in that room together. I could see, and they were funny. Like they would get mad and they'd throw things and break things and then have to, you know, apologize for this or that, or they're quirky, they're lovable, they're great characters. I was a little worried about this therapist's practice, like how he went about doing it. And different therapists for different people work and not. So I can't say, I'm not a therapist, but I was so nervous for her and was like, no, tell her, this isn't a good idea. But he lets her stumble through and she is learning a lot about herself. It's... And he pushed her to do some great things too. It was good. 3 stars.
Awesome.
I thought it was great. Interesting, different. I recommend it.
Okay. Group.
By Christy Tate.
Very good. All right. My next book that I'm going to talk about is called The 10,000 Doors of January by Alex E. Harrow. This is another one I've been seeing around. What is it? Insta books?
Yeah.
Insta readers.
The 10,000 Doors of Jen. Okay. I've seen
now it. Now that you see the cover.
I've seen the cover. I have not read anything. I haven't read the synopsis at all about it, though.
Okay. So this book is about... It's fun. It's fun. It's like, okay, there's a girl and she lives with this very rich man.
Okay.
While her father is like off working for him. Mm-hmm. Like he goes and finds interesting and valuable things and brings them to this rich man because he likes to collect them. And in return, this rich man takes care of his daughter because she's like young, you know, she can't go traveling all over the place mm-hmm. while he's doing these things. And she finds one day, you know, she loves to read. And one day while she's reading, she finds a door and like out in the garden. And she goes through the door and it takes her to another place. And she, you know, is seeing this other place. And then she goes back home. Anyway, so she, and she tells people about it. And he, this man that she lives with basically tells her that she's crazy. And, you know, you're reading too much. You need to be focused on other things. And so tries to redirect her to safer things for women and girls, you know.
Okay.
And in the meantime, you are hearing, you know, other stories of people in different places who also find doors. And then eventually how all of these stories kind of interconnect and how she kind of finds herself and who she is. So her dad goes missing and the man tells her that he's dead, but she won't believe it. And so she decides it's her responsibility to go and find her father and prove that he's alive. Okay. And in the meantime, she finds a book from her dad who tells her this story. And so you're reading this story along with her as she's also, you're kind of bouncing between the story and then her in real time.
Okay.
And it's really fun. It's really creative. It is a different, because it's set in like the 1800s.
Okay.
And so she is half black. Mm-hmm. And so when she's living with the rich man, she has all the privilege and she's never treated badly. Mm-hmm. But when she kind of leaves him and is on her own, how she gets treated very badly. Yes. And so that's kind of fun too.
Yeah.
And it's just her journey along the way. So it's a story about a family and what's most important, right? In life is family, but also puts in this little bit of magic, right? Oh. Where you have these doors that take you kind of different places.
A little bit of fantasy there.
Yes. It's not like wholly fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a little bit of magic in there.
Yeah.
Which was kind of fun. So anyway, I really liked it. Okay. I gave it 4 stars and I would definitely recommend it if you're looking for something like that, right? Okay. Like a little bit of fantasy, a little bit of hope that magic things can happen just around the corner kind of a thing.
I like that idea.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. And cool. I did not see all of the twists and turns. It was very creative. I thought it was great.
Cool. Okay, my next one is called Sisters by Daisy Johnson.
Ooh.
Have you seen this one?
No.
It's got a really cool abstract cover, and I love book covers.
Yes.
I love good book covers. And if you look at the abstractness of these, it's kind of like geometric, two different faces, or so you've got two pictures of two different faces kind of cut up and put together in a very abstract way. Daisy Johnson. And this came out last year, so in August. But it's about these two sisters. They're born 10 months apart. Their names are July and September.
Wow.
And they're very, even though they're very close, very, very bonded because they're only 10 months apart, they are very, very different personality-wise. Okay. So the older sister is kind of sinister. Like they're very creative and they're always together. They don't have a lot of friends. They just stick together and they're kind of outsiders. And so they have run into some bullying problems at their school, and problems just keep arising. So mom, she's a single mom. There's this home that's in the family that had been rented out. But when the aunt of these little girls finds out that, you know, they need to get away and have some time away from this bullying issue and these issues at this school, kicks the people out and they go back to this house. So this house is quite old.
Okay.
And not really kept up very well. And it has a history in the family. And when the mom was very first married and had the first baby, she was actually born in that house. So there's some history and connectedness with this house. And it's kind of creepy. It's kind of a creepy setting. And mm-hmm. This older sister just makes up these games like July Says. Or maybe it's September. I don't remember which one's which, but September says, or I think it's September. September says, and whatever September says, that's what July has to do.
Oh.
And they're not just, it's not just like your normal Simon Says, where it's jump or tap your nose. It's things like poke your finger with a knife or take the razor blade and swatch it across your neck, or run out in front of run out into the street, like crazy,
awful.
Like almost dares, not just Simon Says.
Okay.
And the younger sister, the other sister's like, doesn't feel like she can ever say no. Like she has been dared to do this and it's a test and she needs to pass the test. And so she's doing these things, even though they're causing harm. Hmm. And so they're doing bizarre things. These girls are just a little bit bizarre. And quite abstract. This book is quite abstract. Like it just kind of jumps from here and there and it's kind of weird. And mom's an author and she writes these children's books and the characters in the children's books are the girls. And so they're kind of looking into these books and seeing what maybe their mom thinks of them. Okay. If she likes one more than the other, or if there's a reason why she doesn't like this one and why this sister does these things and the other one doesn't. And there's, you know, like they talk about the walls are breathing in this place and there's just this creep element to it. And you're trying to figure out what's happened in the past, like what this bullying incident at the school was. Cause they never really do. So you're kind of unraveling the story is what happened from what happened in the past, where they are now, and then what's going to be in the future. Mom kind of goes in and out of, you know, she'll be up and great and happy and writing books and then super depressed and doesn't come out of her room. And the girls are just kind of taking care of themselves. Anyway, it's a beautiful, like the bond of sisters, like absolute sisterhood. And yet.
Like kind of creepy.
Creepy and. How tragic maybe that sister, you know, like when you're so different, how one could just kind of follow and stay in the shadow of the other one. Not tragic, but just fall into the shadow of the stronger willed sister.
Sure.
And her struggle with that, the other sister who feels weak all the time and feels like she doesn't have a say and doesn't have that. It was interesting. It's not very long.
Okay.
I got through it pretty quick. But just... it's a haunting story of these two sisters. I would say it's a haunting story.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just kind of abstract. It's weird. It is so different than what I've read that I was really into it and was like, what is this? I have no idea what's going on. Most of the time I felt that way, but I really liked it too.
Okay.
I gave it 3 stars.
Very good.
Did that make any sense?
Yes, it did.
Because it is really so abstract.
I like a part of me feels like it was like a creepy, spooky story. And then a part of me, it was like, oh, this family drama.
Family. Exact. That's exactly what it was.
That is all crazy.
Different.
How fun.
It was kind of interesting. Fun and nice to have something like a.
It is fun to mix it up.
Kind of refreshed my palate with something very different.
Very cool.
It's a good one.
I like it.
Thanks.
All right. The next one I'm going to talk about is A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
Ooh,
I've read this one.
Yes.
I was excited to read this one. This one's another one that I've been like looking at. It's got like 4.3 rating with like 49,000 ratings, which is good. Okay. That's very good.
What I rated it.
The preface, I don't remember if we've talked about. Did we talk about it when you read it?
I don't remember.
So if we've talked about this, we're sorry.
Yeah.
We're talking about it again. Yeah. It's about this girl in high school who, for her senior project, which is, I guess, a thing in their school.
Yeah.
You write like a large essay about a topic of your choosing. Mm-hmm. And she chooses to write about a murder that happened in their small community 5 years prior that she doesn't believe. So it was kind of an open shut case. A girl was murdered and they say that her boyfriend did it and he committed suicide after the fact. And she doesn't believe that he actually did it. And his family has been like ostracized and they have always claimed that they can't believe he would do this because he was a good kid.
Right.
But there's no evidence either way. Like other than his confession that he sends to his dad before he dies, before he commits suicide, she just doesn't like something isn't right.
Right.
And so she gets a lot of pushback from people as she tries to reopen and investigate this murder. Mm-hmm. And from a lot of people she does. And other people, they're like, yeah, go for it, but you're not going to find anything different. Like, this kid did it.
Right.
You know?
This is what it is. Leave it as it is.
Yeah. Like, you're just wasting your time kind of an attitude. But he has a younger brother, and he has always felt like his brother was innocent. And so he joins forces with Andy, who is the school person doing the investigating, and together they work to uncover the truth about this murder. So I thought it was really fun. It goes back and forth between like her investigating, she does interviews, and I listened to this book, which was really fun because in the interviews, it's like she's like, I'm going to tape this, is that okay? And then it turns into like the sound of a recording. Which was really fun.
Yeah.
Did you listen?
I don't remember now.
So, and like the voices were all different. Like, so if you're going to read it, I definitely say it's worth a listen.
Yeah.
Because it was so creatively done. And like when she requests old like police reports and police interviews that they did back in the time and she gets them, you can like hear her pop a tape in.
Ah,
and like play the tape. Yeah. So it's so fun. Like it definitely makes me think I read it
because that doesn't sound familiar, but maybe I'm just not remembering.
Yeah. So it's fun. Anyway, so it's interesting. I did not see the ending coming. Mm-hmm. It definitely has like twist after twist after twist. So every time I'm like, okay, that's the end. I was like, no, there's another end. Like that kind of kept happening. So it was fun. I gave it 3 stars. It kept my interest. I think the only reason I didn't give it 4 was because maybe just one too many twists.
Too many twists at the end. You know, and it's funny because when you brought it up, thinking back, I'm like, oh yeah, that was a good story. I looked it up. I gave it 2 stars.
Oh, really?
Which I rarely do that. I think I found it a little unbelievable.
Ah.
Because she's a high school senior and she does go quite in depth with this investigation.
Yes, she has. Like, and the police missed a lot
that she quickly figures out. And she had put herself in danger in so many situations.
She does.
And I'm like, where is anybody to watch? Like, this girl.
Yeah.
This is not something you should be doing, especially for a senior project. Like, if she had gotten hurt, can you even imagine, like, the teacher who signed off on that project?
Totally.
Like, no, this was not a safe idea for a high school kid. I kind of think that was my thought walking away was.
But it was, like.
This is a high school kid.
It was. I didn't see the ending.
Yeah.
Like, definitely, like, some twists there.
Yeah.
It was more like, what's wrong with your police officers?
Right.
That they never looked into these things that you so easily, 5 years later, were able to discover. The things
in a small town that get looked over or even sometimes like, no, they would never do it. So you don't look into things because you know people and, You wouldn't think they'd ever do that. So you don't look into those things. Yeah.
Totally.
You trust everyone.
Yeah.
So.
And then, like, how quickly, like, she or this, the girl who was the victim is painted as the victim.
Yes.
Right? Like, a very good girl. This so sad this happened to her. And then the boy that was accused of killing her was, like, had such a spotless record and everyone loved him. But then the minute that he was accused of this, like, everyone turned on him.
Right.
So quickly.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was sad to me. But that's little, right? Like, that's – I really enjoyed it. And if you like a good mystery, like a easy read mystery that's not super scary, it's not going to, like, send you running.
Yeah.
This is a fun one to read.
Yeah. I did – I do remember little aspects of it that I enjoyed the reading. I am kind of surprised with my 2 stars on that because I do 9 months later, almost a year later –
can still remember pieces of it. Can
still remember pieces of it and found, still think of it as an interesting read.
So. Yeah. So I definitely say go read it.
Yeah.
Good Fine. Girl's Guide to Murder.
Cool. I like a good book about murder anyway.
So I know you do.
Give me some murder.
Maybe that's what makes you a tough critic.
Maybe so. Because I read a lot in that genre. So maybe that's why that was maybe on the lower end for me for that genre.
So I would say if you're... if you're a beginner in that genre, this is a perfect book for you.
Perfect. Yep.
If it if you're seasoned in this genre, you may find it unbelievable.
Okay. Fair. I think that's fair.
Okay.
All right. For my next one, I read I Love Lisa Jewell.
I love Lisa Jewell.
I read I...
mystery writer.
Oh, yeah. Another thriller mystery writer. We've talked about a lot of her books that we've read. And it was brought to my attention, this one called The Making of Us by Lisa Jewell. It came out in 2011.
Oh.
It wasn't even on my radar as, you know, I've read a lot of her books. And this one,
I had not heard of this
one. It's an older one. And so I was like, well, yeah. Give me another Lisa Jewell. I'll read it. And it was interesting. It is not my favorite of hers.
Okay.
I think she's gotten better as she's crafted or, you know, seasoned her craft. It's not your thriller like the others or suspense like she's done on the others. But the premise of it is it starts out with a couple that are married and they've been trying to get pregnant. And it's just not working.
Oh.
And she's going to fertility specialists and having all these tests done, and there's nothing wrong with her. But her husband is this macho man that she is. So she's talking to the doctor, and he's like, I'd like to bring your husband in for testing. And she's like, there is just no way he will. There's no way I could even bring up the conversation with him that there could be something wrong with him. Nor if there was something wrong with him, what would you recommend? And the doctor's saying, like, loose baggy pants, loose, you know, and she's like, he would not do that. Even if we tested and found out there was something wrong with him, that he had a fertility issue, he wouldn't go into those steps and he'd be humiliated. And
that's sad.
Yeah. So she's like, I can't even. And he's like, well, it would be nice to, you know, rule this out so that we could talk about other options. And she's like, well, what are other options? And he talks about adoption and using a sperm donor. That they would take a sperm donor and her egg and implant it in her and you could get pregnant that way. And she's like, ooh, I didn't know that was a thing at all. Like, tell me more about this. And so she decides that this is what she's going to do and she's not going to tell her husband.
Oh.
She's just going to secretly go and not go to a sperm bank in the same city they're at so that there's never any issues. She goes up to London. And she takes her husband's brother, they're really close, and says, I need your help. I need someone to go with me. I don't want to go do this alone. This is what I'm going to do, and I need you to keep this secret. So she goes up.
It's a big secret.
A big secret against your brother. She gets pregnant and has a little girl. And then she dies when the little girl is 4. And so this girl grows up with her dad, and it's kind of an estranged relationship. They live together, but they're not close at all. She doesn't know that he's not her biological dad. And he doesn't know, you know, as far as you know, that mm-hmm. they don't, neither of them know. And so that's one character. And then there's, you know, there's all these different stories going on with different people. And so it kind of starts out there. And then that 4-year-old daughter, she died when she was four, her mom died. That kind of gives you like where they start out. And then she's graduated from college. Like,
okay, fast forward.
Fast forward now. And she gets this letter that her biological father is interested in meeting her, that she, and she had no idea. And so it comes from, there's a website that connects siblings from sperm banks if you want to be connected. And so anyway, it kind of interweaves these three siblings that this man that her mom picked as a sperm donor, that he donated, he made a certain amount of donations and he knows he's got these kids out there and he is wanting to let them know that he exists and this is where they're from. And so these three siblings, it kind of goes through each of their lives and where they're at and what their childhoods have been like and what they're struggling with now, and just kind of interweaves these lives together as they're making the decision whether to meet each other once they find out that they have siblings and whether to go meet him. And it kind of is like what's missing in their life without knowing. Even if they didn't know they had a different biological dad, they still felt like a lack of connection. Or if they didn't, like each of them have a very different experience. And then it kind of ties them all together at the end in a way.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's so different for Elisa Jewell.
That is different for her.
But I
want to know, what did they choose?
A lot lately in the news. Like you hear these news articles all the time of like these sperm banks that are connecting siblings. And now with the ancestry and genetic testing that we have, and you can find your relatives online so easy, and people are finding siblings they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
So this kind of, I mean, this was back in 2011, just probably as that was all
brand new,
brand new. And now it's a lot more common, but very interesting that this is happening.
Yeah.
And what does that bring up in your life when you didn't know, and that you could have these siblings that are biological siblings, but does that really
mean that you'll connect?
Means you need a connection or not?
Huh.
It was very interesting.
That is, I liked
it. I gave it 3 stars. It was good. Not my favorite Lisa Jewell. I'm very different for her, but sure. It was really an interesting read.
Cool.
I enjoyed it.
I like it. My last book that I'm going to talk about today is Beach Read by Emily Henry.
I just read this one too.
Did you?
I did. I didn't talk about it this week, but yes, I finished it just a couple weeks ago. Fairly recently.
I love it.
I waited forever on hold for this one.
I did too.
Is that okay?
Yes.
We must have put it on hold the same time.
I was kind of a little hesitant to read this because I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but I thought, is it just a snarky, like, romance where they're just going to, like,
right,
like, argue and then
hook up on the beach?
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of thought, like, am I going to read a whole book of them being snarky to each other and then at the end be together? Like, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
That is not what this book is.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I agree.
I really liked it. So to give a little background of the book, the main protagonist in the story is a romance novel author.
Yes.
And she considers herself not a romance author, but a women's lit author, which I love that distinction.
Yeah.
But she just understands women and their emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, and apparently writes it very well. She's been on the bestseller list and does very well. She is an only child with parents who have shown love to each other, like, very grandly. And so she just has bought into their love story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she's been shown love. And likes to write that kind of love into her stories. Okay.
Right.
And so she's kind of this eternal optimist. Mm-hmm. She has a boyfriend that she's had for years that she lives with and just has always imagined ending up with him. He's perfect, right? He's just like the characters that she writes, and she loves him. Well, her father passes away, and at his funeral, she meets his father's mistress.
Can you even imagine?
No.
Like, when you think your parents' love is so strong that you are a romance women's lit writer.
Yes.
To find out it's not so perfect.
Yeah. And so she loses all of her faith in love.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. And she's angry about it because
she's hurt.
It's
she's
a big part to. Of who she is. And she thought she knew her dad, and maybe she didn't know her dad at all.
Right.
And so when she meets mistress at the funeral, the mistress gives her a set of keys to a beach house that was theirs, their love nest.
Yes.
And says that her father would have wanted her to have it, and a letter from her dad that he asked mistress to give to her. Okay. Rough.
Okay.
Right. Rough. So she...
Nothing like your dad just died. Let's turn your whole world upside down and then make you think your whole life has just been a lie up to this point anyway.
Then she finds out her mom knew.
Yeah.
And her mom won't talk about it. Mm-mm. So she's left with all these feelings and unanswered questions. And she is on deadline to get her next novel written.
Yeah.
In like 3 months. So she's going to go for the summer to this beach house because she... In the midst of all this, she has a year, right? In this year of all this heartache, her boyfriend breaks up with her. And therefore, she has to move. And she has no money because she needs to finish her book. So she's like, well, I'll just go up here and write it while I clean it out and get it ready to sell. Yeah. So while she's there, of course, the boy next door is a old college... What would you call him?
Acquaintance.
Yes, who was also an author, and she's always felt like they were, like, against each other.
Rivals.
Yes, yeah. Is the word. So anyway, so it's really fun. So it's kind of about how they help each other out of their own ruts.
Right.
And how she overcomes her... distrust in love.
In love, right. And because of all of this, there's quite a bit of writer's block.
Yes.
In her finishing this book that she's got to get finished. Because
she can't write love anymore.
Right. Because
she doesn't believe in it.
She's lost it.
And she's like, the one thing she knows is that you got to believe in what you're writing. If you don't, then it doesn't work.
Right. What I love especially about, just to get into the mind of an author, is her research. Like when she talks about what her research is, and it's like, going on hot air balloon rides this weekend so that I can write about it. Going to the fair because that's a good scene for a romance novel. Or going to, she has all these different
events
that they go do, these, or that she goes and does or talks about so that she can then write about it in her book. And I've never thought of that before. Yes, you've got to go do those things. It's research.
Yes.
And so research in chick lit is fun research.
Yes, it is. His is much different. Like, he writes doomsday, sad, depressing books. Mm-hmm. And so he takes her on research for his, and it's very different.
Yeah, very dark, sad, very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved this book.
I liked it a lot, too.
I gave it 5 stars.
Woo!
I know. I'm being generous.
5.
I'm gave just it throwing 4. Them out everywhere. You gave it 4.
I gave it 4.
So you liked it, too.
I really liked it.
I just felt like...
Especially for me, this type of book, like a beach read.
Yes.
I mean, it literally is a beach read, but I would talk about a beach read book as usually just something you want to relax and just enjoy and not have anything too heavy. I tend to not go higher on the scale with those because they're just...
It feels kind of fluffy.
Yeah. But 4 stars. I really liked it.
I loved it. I thought, you know what? It was totally different than your normal beach read. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely some low points there. And you felt them. Like, I felt for this girl. I just thought it was really well done. And at the end, the author talks about her experience writing the book and like how she came up with the idea. Did you listen to that part?
I don't remember. I usually do, but I don't remember it specifically.
So she just kind of talks about how she came up with this idea of a writer with writer's block, mm-hmm. and what would cause someone to have writer's block. And it took her down this road of like someone who normally writes romance novels will, mm-hmm. the only way you maybe one way that you might get writer's block is if you didn't believe in it anymore. And so what would cause you not to believe? Anyway, I loved hearing her brain work and like come around this idea and how she created this idea. I thought that was so cool. So anyway, I just really love the book. I highly recommend it. It's Beach Read. Go find it.
Awesome. Yes.
We both. And I love that you read it. That's fun.
Yeah. It's this year. So
very good.
Excellent. All right. I think we're good for today.
Lots of books to go and add to your list, I'd say.
Yeah. Let us know what you've been reading. Let us know if you read any of these. I want to hear.
I know. Did you like Beach Read as much as I did?
I really liked it.
I liked it.
You know what else is so funny? I don't know if anyone watched the Super Bowl commercials, because that's what I watch.
That's what I watch. Halftime in the commercials.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there's a commercial with Matthew McConaughey.
Uh-huh. The 2D.
Yes.
The 3D. Loved it. Loved it.
Can I just say my love for Matthew McConaughey this year is like through the roof.
Yeah.
I like want to listen to it again. I loved his book so much. I just barely finished
it. And you want to listen to it again.
I do.
And you were excited to see him on the Super Bowl.
Yes. And then he did the Super Bowl commercial and I was like, oh, Matthew, you're so funny.
Your best friends, kind of first name basis.
Yeah.
Look at you.
It was so good.
You're killing it.
I know. I'm like, tell me some more stories. I want to hear about it. Anyway, that's my little two cents tonight about the Super Bowl.
I love it. Okay.
But that's it. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook.
You can email us. Please email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
We love to hear from you.
Yes.
Any interaction.
And tell us your stories. You're funny.
Please. Yeah. What are you reading?
What are you reading?
There's lots of good reading stories out there. Yeah. Tell us about it. We'd love to hear it. Anyway, and thank you to Amphibious Zoo.
Absolutely.
We have great music. They,
Amphibious Zoo, by the way, had a commercial on the Super Bowl that their music is in. So they had a big weekend as well. So
that's amazing. Well done.
Kudos.
Bravo.
Yeah. We're super proud that.
And we're associated.
We're
going to just sit close. Yeah. I love it.
So congratulations to them and thank you to them.
Yeah.
We appreciate their music. They do a fantastic job.
So tune in next time for our book club.
Yes.
And we'll see you then. Yep. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.